Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Leading Edge. Up here where I live, we are entering into late fall, into the winter season. So wherever you are, I hope you are enjoying the season that you're in. And I love the topic that I'm taking on for this month, because we tend to, as a society, at least where I am, get a little bit, I'll use the word I don't really like, busy around this time of year, where we have a lot more commitments and things that we want to do either with family or through work or any of those engagements. The month of December seems to be quite a busy month for us. So I have engaged with a couple of individuals, and one I'll introduce in just a few minutes that I'm very excited about, because they are truly engaged and passionate about their subject matter, and they're so wise. So I'm going to share the idea of mindfulness with all of you this month in this call and the show, and then the next one that comes up in 2 weeks. So today I'm very, very fortunate to be joined by a very well-known speaker and expert in the field of mindfulness, GB Chima, and she runs an organization by the name of Winds of Change. And GB is very, very passionate around the topic of mindfulness. She is a world-renowned mindfulness coach and keynote speaker. And what I love about GB is she's really filled with passion around changing the way we approach our work and lives. Her love of building high-performance teams through mindfulness workshops, it really takes her around the world, and she's working with spiritual centers and large organizations. She's always been fascinated by the interaction of mind, body, and spirit, and GB and I have that in common. A lot of you know my background and how interested I am in those three pieces. GB holds a PhD in organizational and human behavior and an MBA specializing in leadership studies. As one of BC's longest practicing corporate mindfulness consultants, she's really pioneered programs that help people to become awake, evolved, and to thrive. She's even included a TV show that's called Winds of Change with GB. So I'm really excited, GB, that you've taken some time out of your schedule to come on with us and allow all of our listeners to understand this subject matter that we've all heard a lot about. I think that most of us have heard the word mindfulness, and it's intriguing. At least to me, it's very, very intriguing, because there's a piece about while we understand that we are supposed to incorporate mindfulness into our lives, a lot of us may not understand really what that means. Why is that important, and why would we want to do that, and why do we want to gain a better understanding of mindfulness? So I love that you bring a sense of simplicity in everything that you talk about around mindfulness, and you're not talking above anyone. You're really beside them, walking with them, allowing them to understand some of these pieces. So GB, hello, welcome. I'm really happy that you're joining us today.
Thank you so much, Jenna, for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, I want to cover a couple of things with you, and I really want to start with, why is mindfulness so important?
We live in a world, Jenna, I think right now, in which everything has become so fast-paced, whether it's fast food, fast ways of doing things, strategies are faster, goal achievement is faster. Technology, I think, has brought us to a place right now where there's a duality in the beauty of connection, and yet it has also introduced the fast-paced life. And I think that going back to the roots of who we are as people and really understanding how we function as people from an inner guidance perspective is really important. So mindfulness, I think, is really important today, because we do live, we have to still function in this world that's fast-paced, but we can still function in that simplicity ourselves.
And I love that piece about simplicity. I know for myself, I found myself years back running all of the time, and I was constantly juggling all of these balls in the air, and I knew at a deep level that if one of those balls dropped, everything was going to crash. And what I mean by that is the schedule, right? Keeping the schedule, I've got 2 minutes before this, I've got a couple minutes before that. It became almost, in hindsight, ludicrous to me how I was running my life. And I lost myself in that piece. So that really resonates with me, what you just said about connecting back. That's my whole goal, is to connect back to myself. And so I love that piece.
And Jenna, to be honest, I was in the same boat as well a few years ago. I would say close to about 15 or 16 years ago, where, funny enough, I used the exact same terminology that you did, that I felt I had lost my soul. And it was like I was producing and functioning at a level at which my health was not allowing. So I got to a point at which my health was impacted tremendously. And so it was an interesting learning for me that, you know, why do we have to get to the point at which our health is impacted, and to the point at which I had become literally disabled with certain conditions, where my body said, you know what, GV, if you're not going to slow down, we will help you slow down.
And I think that's a very real piece of this. You and I have had similar experiences. And I do think that I'm a big believer in teachers. We have teachers in our lives, and when we ignore them, they become louder and louder and louder. And we have the same experience in that, where our body took over and said, okay, well, you're not listening, so here we go. I'm going to take away your ability to keep running. And I agree with you, so it actually makes my heart bigger. I love that there's individuals in this world that know that we've got to get this information out to people, no matter what you do. You don't have to be working in a specific job. It's no matter who you are, we have the ability to proactively make some adjustments in our lives so that we don't have to have the same sort of outcome.
Yes, Jenna, and coupled with that is, I think the Western world has this perception that mindfulness or meditation and all of these techniques that we use, which are simply techniques, require lots of time. You know, we have this perception that everything requires you sitting and chanting for an hour or 2 hours a day. And then people get frustrated in that meditation because, well, I can't stop the thoughts, and I can't stop, you know, all of these checklists that are going on in my head. But I think as soon as we start to realize that mindfulness is a way of being in every single conversation, in the way you talk, in the way you listen, in the way you wash the dishes, in the way you drive your car, the simplest things, that this isn't something that we're teaching that, you know, requires lots and lots of time, but it does require awareness of that present moment.
So I'm hearing that mindfulness is a sense of presence in everything that we do. Is that a correct statement?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So when we're talking about mindfulness, and I think that's such an important piece of what you just said around, it's not about sitting cross-legged and chanting and being in that for an hour. While that's very, very valuable, we can start from a different place. If mindfulness is perhaps new to us, then, or if we're like me, I'm a big proponent of mindfulness, big proponent of meditation, and I understand the neuroscience behind it. And still, during the day, I can find myself struggling with putting aside any time to, quote-unquote, being mindful, like it's an action.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love what you just said, because you're taking it away from an action piece into an on-action.
Absolutely. When I started to learn about mindfulness, Jenna, for me, it was simply at the start of the hour, every hour at the start of the hour, I would simply just sit and just take some deep breaths and ask myself, GV, what is going on for you right now? And all of a sudden, your body starts to tell you what's going on. Are you sitting at the edge of your chair, holding the sides of your chair? Are your shoulders crumpled up? Is your back sore? Is your neck sore? All of a sudden, all these answers start to come to you. And it was as simple as starting off with, when I'm doing the dishes, am I worried about the big pile that's on the side that I have to soap and then wash? Or am I simply saying, I'm just washing one dish at a time? And so the simplicity in this, or Jenna, for example, when I used to travel, this is where it was very significant for me because I traveled a lot. And before I started to practice mindfulness, my travel went like this. I would have a 24-hour flight period to, say, Bali or India, and I would be rushing, you know, getting my suitcases in the car, driving to a certain airport, and then waiting at the airport for the flight. All these checklists are going on in my brain. It was a very fast-paced type of a travel. When I started to learn about mindfulness, I started thinking, wait, how do I enjoy the drive between here and the airport? How do I simply observe what's going on around me? And then I would get to the airport and I would enjoy my time at the airport. There may be somebody that was sitting around me that was reading a book. I may ask them, oh, what book are you reading? But I started to enjoy each moment in segments. And then I would get onto the plane. Then I would enjoy my moment on the plane. And it completely changed the way I travel.
And I actually hear the word growth in that, and maybe that's me and my projections always looking for growth in things. But I know that you come from the stance of mindfulness allowing, it's almost a permission piece, to grow as a whole, becoming more engaged on all levels. And that's what I'm hearing you say in your example of breaking things down and enjoying the peace that you're in right in this moment. You're in the car, you're in the airport. Can you talk a little bit more about that and the allowing that comes from really focusing on how that can actually make us more engaged on all of those levels, family, community, and work?
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. Beautiful paraphrase. That's definitely what I've been saying, is the opportunity for you to become your authentic, true self. So what happens is, as you start to notice each moment, as you start to enjoy the beauty of that present place that you're at, with no judgment, no analysis, what then all of a sudden starts to happen, Jenna, is that you start to get clarity of mind. So the thoughts start to, you may have the initial thought, you have an awareness of that thought, but then you don't create this huge assumption bill underneath that thought. So as I'm in the, right now, as you and I are in this conversation, I am not thinking about other things that I have to do during my day. I am present with Jenna in this conversation. I am listening proactively to what you're saying. I take a moment to, after you start speaking, I take a moment to think about how I'm going to respond. So my listening skills are tested. The allowance part comes from allowing us to sit with the time, allowing us to sit with silence, allowing us to take a little bit of an extra minute to respond to somebody. Because again, it comes back to that fast-paced environment. When somebody says something, we want to respond very quickly, because sometimes we associate it with credibility and reputation that, oh yes, I know my stuff, I can respond very quickly. But sometimes taking a step back and saying, just taking a breath and thinking about, how am I going to respond to this? What is it that I want, what my true self wants to say right now? So that awareness, that allowance comes from, GV, it is okay for you to take some time and space to respond to what is happening in front of you. Does that make sense, Jenna?
It absolutely does. And one of the things I love about this show is I am very careful on who I select to have on this show, because I always want to walk away from the show having been brought to thought. So you're making me think, and some of the things that are coming up for me, and I think they provide value to this conversation, is the piece about needing to respond to increase credibility. And when we stay in that place, and we could call it ego, then we're always moving in a robotic stance, so based on how we've learned to behave or perform. And we never really take off the mask and really allow the full potential of ourselves to come forward. This is my opinion in this piece. And what I really like about what you're saying is by just allowing the space between when we speak and when we respond, that to me, I always classify that as choice, right? Mm-hmm. When we are in an automatic nature where we're trying to perform to keep up the facade of who we believe we are and who we believe others think we are, then are we ever truly getting to the full potential of us? So that's one of the things that's popping up for me in mm-hmm. this. And that whole piece of how well are we actually engaged?
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right, Jenna. For me, accepting that I was living a life of facade was the most challenging part, because that holding up the mirror and actually looking at yourself differently to say, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? And quite often we don't even know that we're living this life of facade. We don't realize that we have the mask on. And quite often we're afraid of removing that mask and really looking at what is it that I truly want? Because the want and the desire comes with possibly losing something that you don't want to lose. So as I started to journey through mindfulness and starting to learn about, okay, what's important to me here in this particular situation, in this particular conversation, or, you know, in this particular relationship, what's important to me here, all of a sudden that authentic voice just started to, you know, it started to be released in a way. So you're absolutely right. We quite often walk around in a different way than what our soul is wanting, our spirit, universe, whatever you may want to call it, wants to project us to be.
And the piece of what do I want? And I know for me, before I found mindfulness and started to practice this, it was always about what do they want. Mm-hmm. And I didn't actually realize that I was making choices and decisions and actions based on what I believed others wanted of me. And I wasn't even in the equation.
Uh-huh.
And yeah.
Quite odd. I think I used to call it the good person complex because I wanted to be the good person. You know, I'm always helping. I'm always doing things and I'm always saying yes. And I found myself at one point questioning, GV, at what cost are you doing this? And then when you start to question the cost of your health, the cost of really important relationships such as your family, the cost of just giving, you then start to become more mindful of what it is that you want in that situation.
Beautiful, beautifully said. And I love, you used a word earlier, and I would like you to elaborate a little bit on that, if you will. And that's the Assumptionville. I love that statement, that word. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, you bet. So it's accepted in the world of psychology, if you do research online, that a human being generally will have about 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot of thoughts. And it's the initial thought itself. So for example, I might think, oh, GV, you know, I think you're getting sick. So that might be my initial thought. After that, the assumptionville that GV may create is, What if I get sick? How am I going to attend that meeting tomorrow? What if I lose my voice? Maybe I should get to a doctor. What if my doctor doesn't have any appointments available? Maybe I should stop eating some spicy food so that my throat doesn't get any worse. So I've gone from one thought of I might be getting sick to all of this assumptionville underneath that may or may not be factual. I haven't experienced it yet. It's not right there in front of me. I haven't lost my voice. I haven't even gotten sick yet. I'm still thinking I might get sick. I've not attended the meeting that's coming up. So all of that stuff is a bunch of assumptionville, and quite often we live so much in assumptionville. So for example, maybe I am having lunch with a friend. My friend sends me an email and says, GB, I won't be able to make it today. I'm feeling a bit under the weather. I can take that comment verbatim, or assumptionville leads me into, maybe that person didn't like me. Maybe they don't want to spend time with me. This is really strange. Maybe in this friendship, they're really not giving me a whole lot of priority. I wonder if they're really sick. Or are they making that up? I wonder if they had something more important to do. Maybe I picked the wrong restaurant. So you can imagine all of we have the capability of creating an entire village of thoughts that are based in assumption that have not really happened. And I'll give you a really good example of myself a couple of days ago, which shows you that we are always a learner, we are always a student. So I had posted something on Facebook, a post. A friend, not even an hour later, posted something on their main Facebook, not in response to my post, but just a general posting. So I started thinking, have I offended this person? In my post, did I write something that was offensive? Jenna, you'll not believe I spent half a day with all of these assumptions in my head going, the next time I see this person, I really need to talk to them. I must have said something offensive. And finally, I thought, stop, GV. You have gone into assumptionville all day. Let's just send this person a message and say, have I offended you? And if I've unintentionally said something, I'm very sorry. That was not the intention. And Jenna, the funny thing is that person responded to me by saying, I have not even read your post yet, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I had to put myself on mute because I was laughing so hard because all of these things are things that I think we all do. And it's so true. But the whole piece about space, and I'm going to let you talk to that because I know that you say it beautifully of, we've only got so much space up there and it's all full of, oh, what if this, and what if that, and what if this. And I think I was laughing very hard, so I apologize for being on mute, but I didn't want to distract from what you were saying. So let's talk about that. Okay, so put it into real terms for people. We've got so much space. Can you talk about that to people?
Yes, you bet. I'll preface with a funny story, or at least I think it's funny. So I had gone to watch a Jackie Chan movie, Jenna. And I think it was Rush Hour or something like that, to be honest. And it was a few years back. And as I was watching this movie, Jackie Chan goes to learn some karate moves from one of his senseis. And as he arrives, he's ready. Like he knows the moves. So the sensei says to him, he totally basically annihilates Jackie Chan. And Jackie Chan is just looking at his sensei thinking, what happened here? Because I thought I'd practice, I knew my moves. And the sensei said something very beautiful in that movie. He said, you came here with a full teacup. When you came with a full teacup, any tea I poured in, your tea just overflowed out of your cup. So the next time you come to see me, empty your teacup before you come. And
that gives me the chills.
Yeah, it has such a high impact on me. I thought, how much do we enter into a relationship, into a conversation, into something that we're doing with our full teacup? We have all of this stuff in our head before we enter a conversation. Again, coming back to maybe credibility and reputation, and yet we only have so much space in our head that we utilize. So if we learn to practice mindful meditation in which we start to declutter our brain of the could've, would've, should've's that we constantly curdle in our head. It's like, it reminds me of curdling milk in India, when I was in India, that you would constantly move the clay pot back and forth. And quite often I would think of my thoughts in that way, that I sit there and I curdle the milk for hours and hours. And I thought, wait a minute, if I start to eliminate that assumption, Bill, if I start to stop at the original thought, I now have this beautiful space in my head for creative thought, for things about creating, you know, the types of workshops I'd like to create, creating, you know, brainstorming about quality improvement, whether that's in an organization or whether it's in my personal life. All of a sudden, I have brain space to do the things that I would have never thought. Like, all of a sudden, I was taking art classes. All of a sudden, I was taking pottery classes. But that did not come until I cleared the space, until the teacup was empty, so I could actually pour a different type of tea into that teacup.
Beautiful. And the piece of how full is your teacup. So, GB, what would you say to an individual listening to this that has, they perhaps have the life of juggling a lot of things, and they don't feel as if they have any space and or ability to create some of this? What would you say to someone that says, that's great for you, GB and Jenna, but I have no time for this?
I would probably say that if they are in the place of where they are at and they're listening to us today, there is a awareness somewhere inside of them that's trying to light the light. And so if you're in that place of listening to the show today, there is a desire in you to be different, to do things differently. So I would challenge that thought of I have no time, and I would replace it with, are you making yourself a priority? Are you thinking about who are you in this situation and what your innermost desire wants from you? And once you start to shift that perspective, because Jenna, I don't believe that there is such a thing as I don't have time. I think it's more of, is this a priority for me? Is this something that I want to do? So 3 minutes at the top of the hour, every hour, even starting once a day if you want, just 3 minutes is not a long time in the whole scheme of your lifespan to just sit for 3 minutes and notice your incoming and outgoing breath and to ask yourself, GV, what do I want in this moment in time? What's going on for me? As simple as that. So I think that for anybody that's listening right now that's challenged with the chain and the shackle of time, I would really question, is your internal light that worth it to you and a priority for you in this moment in time? And if it's not, that's A-okay. And if it is, then I would say it's time to do something different.
You've actually brought me to tears, GB, because the thought that came up in my mind is, are you worth it? And I know for me years back, I didn't believe that I was, so I wouldn't have put myself as a priority. I know differently now because of the experiences that I've had, but it feels so emotional to me for people to ask themselves, are you worth it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's really, really what it comes down to. It really is.
Mm-hmm. And it, Jenna, at some point it becomes frustrating as to why we can't have happy, balanced people in the work environment. Like, when I look at my work is very simple. I just want happy people in the work environment. And I think it's possible if we start to nurture the I. Like, quite often in organizations I hear, you know, you'll hear the sentence, there's no I in team. And I think we need to shift that. We need to shift to say, there is no team without nurturing the I. We have to start creating happy people in the work environment so they come home happier, and then they're better contributors to the community.
Mm, so powerful and so a complete agreement. And I know that you do a lot of work in organizations and sharing this, and you're sharing your wisdom. And I want to just share with our audience some of the free resources that you put out there for people to help them and to engage them in this process. Can you take a couple of minutes and just talk about, I know you have a free ebook called Corporate Mindfulness that can be downloaded on your website, Winds of Change. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Yes, you bet. The birth of that book came from just wanting to get a free resource out there for people that are just wanting to start. So, and it's a workbook based, so you read a little bit of content, because I realize how busy people are. So you read a little bit of content in this workbook, and then you do the work. And one of the reasons why this book gave birth was people wanted a quick fix, Jenna. I'd go into organizations and they would say, okay, GV, do an organization and we're fixed. It's almost like it comes back to that fast-paced environment. But what people need to understand is mindfulness is not a quick fix. You have to do the work. You have to practice it in everything that you do. So the book itself, the ebook, is exactly that. It actually teaches people to go through and do the work and answer some very simple questions that will definitely awaken and enlighten them to where they are at.
Beautiful. And I think that's where it starts, right? We've got to start somewhere. And between the experience that you shared with people of being mindful for those 3 minutes at the top of the hour, and if you can handle once a day, then once a day, along with some of the resources that you put out, I believe they're very, very vital for people. And GV, I love that you've come on and shared your wisdom with individuals. I think it's probably just the start of a conversation. So if you're open to it, I would love to leave it open for you to come back and maybe dive a little deeper into some of the subject matters around mindfulness, if you're open to it. But in the meantime, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom with all of us. Can you just share with the audience how best to get a hold of you or find out more information about you for those that have peaked during this show?
Yes, you bet, Jenna. First of all, I want to thank you for creating this space and, you know, for our voices to be heard. So I'm very honored to be having this conversation with you. And anytime you would like me back, I'm more than happy, of course. Yes, we've got a website called windsofchange.ca. That's windsofchange.ca, windsofchange.ca, which has all the contact information on there, as well as if anybody would like to get a hold of us in the as a landline, our number is 250-585-4358. And again, Jenna, thank you so much for what you're bringing to people.
Absolutely. Beautiful soul you are. Thanks, everyone. So next time, we will continue this conversation on mindfulness as I'm joined by Jessica Amos, and we will be talking about how to use mindfulness to find yourself. So please join me next time, 2 weeks from now, Monday, same time, same place, and we will speak with you then. Thanks, everyone. Have yourself a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.